Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
You're back, baby.
I'm back and not better than ever, but pretty much the same as ever.
So it's Valentine's Day. And as Ashley's friend calls it, Valentine's Day. For whatever reason. And all of a sudden, Ryan Cabrera is the main focus of this entire show. Yeah, Ashley's writing music. Yeah, she's fighting with her dad. Yeah, the man in the alley said she'd never amount to anything. Yes, she's not Hillary Duff. Yes, Tina continues to show up wherever she is, like a little sewer rat poking her head out of the grate. This episode, though, it's like all about Ryan. And we open with a scene where she's talking about Ryan. We get a refresher because Ryan is not Josh, and one could be confused because it is only episode 4 and these episodes are only 20 minutes and we just met everybody in episode 1.
Josh, and then we had to let him go.
We had to let him go within 11 minutes and 37 seconds. So now it's all about Ryan. Remember, Ryan lives in the same little townhouse complex that she lives in Los Angeles. I need to find those ugly 2005 renderings of architecture. And Ryan is also a singer, and Ryan's hair is full of product. And Ashley and Ryan are canoodling. Remember, Ashley was in his music video, and she did something sneaky, which was kiss him during the music video. She told the director, but he didn't know. And that was such a kooky thing to do. It's called consent, Ashley. Look it up. And they are like Duggar hand fucking on the couch. You know how the Duggars don't like kiss before marriage. Like all of their first everythings are on their wedding day. So they're allowed to hold hands and do side hugs. But like, especially like in the earlier seasons of the Duggar marriages, I will not say the name of the older Duggar because he's disgusting. But for like Jessa's marriage and Jill's marriage, it was like, okay, you're engaged now. Like now you can hold hands.
And they would really just hold a hand.
They would be like feeling each other's finger, like rubbing each other's finger. It was so with the force of, you know, a ninth grader trying to like finger someone for the first time, like just like jamming your fingers into someone else's finger.
Aggressive. They were like, more friction is probably going to make this better.
Yeah. They're like, we love friction. Like, let's get the sparks flying literally. So literally. The thing that threw me off the couch, and I messaged you, Nora, about this, was what does Ashley say about all of a sudden? Okay. All we see is this sexual tension. They're flirting. They're like snuggling. And then Ashley says, he's my
best friend.
He's my best friend. And sometimes it's just so fun to kiss your best friend. What?
Also, I wrote this in my first book and I do not care who it offends. If you are like, if every boyfriend is your best fucking friend, if you get married and you're like, oh my God, my husband's my best friend, I'm like, where'd your real friends go? What do you mean he's your best friend?
Yeah, like, Dan is not.
What are you talking about? No, are you kidding me? Matthew's like at best an acquaintance.
Yeah. Dan always says I'm in his top five. But like, yeah, no, of course not, because that's just not, I don't know, that's not how I operate. But also, you just like, especially, you just don't make out with your best friends. It's just like not
You don't make out with your best friends, not a thing that happens. But when you are this age and you're like, oh, yeah, like I heard that you should definitely be best friends.
Right.
With like your, yeah, like you have to be my best friend. And yeah, honestly, we're like she's just friends. On the couch with her head in his lap, as if we're supposed to just forget that that's what she did with Josh. Really?
Right.
Like, right. No.
We were just literally in consecutive time, 46 minutes ago, we were here on the couch with Josh.
And Josh was your best friend. And he was smelling your armpits.
And Josh was your best friend. And he was smelling your armpits. And you got, and she was just like, it's so just like fun to be with someone who you really like and who really likes you. Yeah, she's like, he's like my best friend. I was like, so nice to have a best friend. Oh, you can't touch, like, make out. Like, who doesn't love making out with their best friend? You know who like, says that? A girl who's like, I know this isn't the case, but like, it sounds like there's a girl who she knows who likes him. And she's like, no, don't worry, girl. Like, we're just best friends and we make out. It's like not a big deal. And also everyone knows this is a thing. And like, it's just like, yeah, she's like gaslighting America with this monologue about best friends.
Oh, God. And yeah, but now it's like now Ryan Cabrera is a central character. And this is essential because really this is like the beginning of we're just seeing a PR relationship unfold.
Nora, you're so committed to this being a marketing thing. And I love that for you because I'm remembering when Ashley is singing Pieces of Me at some point during this episode and Ryan Cabrera is singing On the Way Down during this episode. They got released at the exact same time. Those were like the two hottest songs on the radio, summer 2004.
Yeah.
I mean, you're right. You're of course right. You've never been wrong.
And I've literally never been wrong. It would shock me if it were to happen to me, but and then she's in the video and it's just like all done, it's just orchestrated so perfectly. It's like, where is Joe? He's just back there just pulling the little puppet strings.
That's
like
right.
A champion.
There's Joe just doing the marionettes. He's like, hi on the hill was I only gonna and like he is he's like, pieces of me. And I think you're right, it's true. It's like this is all timed within an inch of its life, and they're going to make these two stars, and they're going to be best friends, and it works.
Damn it, I was going to say. They're going to make these two best friends and stars, and honestly, you know what's most important? The friendship. Friendship comes first.
It really does. And it always does, and that's a lesson that we learned 36 minutes into the show, you know? Forget Josh and forget your armpits and forget what you learned, you know, last episode.
Oh,
forget
God.
All of it. Now what's important is making out with your best friend, and your best friend is Ryan Cabrera. So,
and you're here, baby.
She is singing Pieces of Me. She's working on a new song, which we all know is Pieces of Me. He is working on a new song. He invites her over to his apartment to hear it. And it is like, coming off of the best friend conversation is psychotically sexual. He is singing her a song and she's like bopping her head along. And then he sings the song into her ear.
Yeah.
It's so gross.
It was very gross. I don't want that much. I don't like that. I don't want to. And I don't want to see other people do it. That's the thing.
What
I am
song
a prude.
Was it? Is I guess my question.
I don't know.
Should it wasn't know? Because it wasn't On the Way Down and it wasn't True because we heard both of those songs at the Valentine's Day concert. And okay, well, so let's talk about Nora, tell us about the concert. Tell us about like the pivotal moment of this 19-minute episode.
Okay, first I don't want to skip the fact that like we get like a little bit of like backstory for Ashley that kind of sets up again marketing again arc, it sets up the arc of her album.
Yep,
which she goes to like a ballet studio.
Oh right. Yes, okay.
And she's hinting at some darkness in her past, right? Like ballet is so serious. And I was a part of the American Ballet Academy or something. I don't know what stuff is. I was just a part of the American School of Ballet. And I was, you know, it was so much. It was so much work. And so she's like sort of trying to like heal some inner child stuff by like going to ballet, but like wearing like a men's t-shirt and being like kind of goofy. And
she's literally there for like 2 seconds. And she and her friend burst into like hysterical laughter and have to leave, which I relate to so much. It's like pee your pants laughter. Like, remember in Vegas, we did that with the arthritis commercial. Well, we never released the Vegas episode because it's so Nora, basically the backstory of this is that Nora and I were basically 90% asleep and we were both fall asleep to the TV on and we're sharing a bed in Vegas and we're like, you know, coming off a long night at the casino, aka it's 9:30, and a commercial blasts from the television at Treasure Island Hotel and they say people with rheumatoid arthritis are rethinking their choices. And no, immediately
you wish it was rheumatoid. It was moderate to severe plaque psoriasis.
Right. I did wish it was rheumatoid arthritis.
Are rethinking their choices. That it got right into our ears at the same time. Like the words snaked through the air into our ears, registered in our brains. At the same time, we go, people with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis are rethinking their choice.
Like, you know what, Bob?
What choices?
I want
all
a divorce. Yeah. Yeah. I'm ending this marriage.
You know
I'm
what? I never liked your mother. It just was like, you know what? Actually, I don't want to go to dinner. It was so absurd. And so we got church giggles and so did Ashley and her friend. It was just,
for all of three.
If I hear the word choices, I think.
Yeah. Moderate to severe plaque psoriasis.
Yeah. People with mild, they live in a state of bliss, unaware bliss.
Exactly. Moderate to severe. Fucking everything they knew was wrong. Everything they knew was wrong.
Everything has been called into question. Everything.
And then Ashley and her friend get through like two demi-pliés and they are peeing their pants laughing. Also, I want to make a note of something her friend does that I clocked. Did you see her roll down her tights to be like low-rise tights?
Yes. 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 I mean, you have to. Like, why would you want your torso covered or held in any way? You wouldn't. You want them low.
It's just a sign of the times, man. I mean, that was so crazy to me. Mm. I love that for them, though. I'm happy for them that they got to go to ballet. And, like, no one seems to acknowledge their presence.
No one. And so you don't know if, like, they're there for, like, some kind of reason. I don't know.
She says she's going because she wants to tone up for her music video.
Oh, God. Oh, sad.
It's not gonna
and she's already
with
in
two,
the Atkins
please.
Diet. She's already eating, like, you know, slices of turkey for breakfast. And
yeah,
because she just wants
Jessica
to feel
Simpson diet.
Something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, God. I want to talk about the outfit.
Mm-hmm.
That she wears to Ryan's show. Ryan is playing at the Knitting Factory. And the outfit that Ashley is, and he's playing on Valentine's Day. Correct?
Yes. Yep.
Okay. So he's playing on Valentine's Day and she goes, and she is wearing,
a jean skirt,
leggings.
Yep. And capri leggings,
a jean skirt, cowboy boots and a blazer. It's with an ironic t-shirt. Okay.
That outfit was so cool. That outfit
and her
is
mullet.
So fucking
it's
cool.
So cool. And if you think that I'm not rethinking my choices as if I had moderate to severe plaque psoriasis, I am fucking like, where can I get a denim skirt? Where can I get my capri leggings back? How can I add a giant t-shirt and a blazer? I am going to cut bangs and a mullet. And I am going to stand backstage at my boyfriend's show. And I'm going to, here, there's a few moments in the extended Simpson universe where the mask slips and you can tell something's up. We watched an episode where it was like, you could tell Jessica was like drunk, right?
Yes, yes, yes. The
and
Christmas
she's just
episode,
sort of like,
yes.
This episode, I think Ashley is jacked up. Like, she's yelling at Ryan on stage, being like, I heard you have a hot girlfriend. Just like shit that's like, I'm like, what? Did you like
do you think she's also up in the balcony in the mezz and she's with all of her friends and she will not stop talking
she won't stop talking
she
won't.
Talks
she
through
just
the entire time
yeah And her mom is obviously Tina wormed out like a little sewer rat. And oh, in front of Ashley is a martini. And I guarantee you it's a Cosmo, baby. I guarantee you she is drinking a Cosmo. She is Sex in the City in and up.
Oh, and my God. She is out. She is the Samantha. She is a big slut that Tina.
Man, Tina is behind her with a long sleeve shirt over or under a slip dress. Fucking
iconic.
Love it.
Iconic. So Ryan plays the songs we know on the way down. And then he played that other song that just like I have not thought about that song in like 20 years. And now here it is. It's like the slow song. It's the ballad.
Yep.
And then he says to the crowd, all right, everyone, thanks for coming. Like, good night. Happy Valentine's Day. And Ashley immediately goes, I'm over it. He didn't play the song that he said he was going to play for me. I'm over him. And Tina's like, what? You're over him? Like sloshing around her Cosmopolitan. Like it's like just like splashing everywhere, like tidal waves of alcohol.
Oh, man, here's the thing. I've been Ashley Simpson in this moment where you're like, look, I know I'm drunk, but I feel like if I speak slowly enough and close enough to your face, you won't know it. And so you'll have to take this seriously. I feel like if I lean into your ear and I use every vocabulary word that I can recall, you will ignore the fact that my breath smells like nail polish remover. And you will feel the anguish that I am feeling. Okay, Ryan, because the fact that I was sitting there in the mezzanine level, waiting for you to play the song that you said you would play for me.
Yep. And you didn't do it.
And you didn't do it. And Ryan's face, he's got the tight smile of a man who's like, fucking launch me into the sun. Okay.
He's like, this is my biggest performance to date. And he literally keeps saying to her, oh, are you sure I didn't play it? Because you were talking through my entire show. He is so pissed. He is so pissed. He's like, oh, maybe you didn't hear it because you were talking. And then the camera shows like the flashback of like 30 seconds ago of her like walking around the mezzanine talking to all of her friends as Ryan is singing a song.
Yeah. It's and guess so what? Sad. There were not that many people at the Knitting Factory. And I will tell you, you can tell. And when there is a unpopulated venue, I don't even care how many people are there. I make sure to stare at the person on stage with a look on my face that says, I got you, I'm watching, to the point where, I mean, we did this when we were passing people on the street in Vegas, right? Like we both were like, wow, we feel so bad when people are not being paid attention to. Like you said, you will stop at a farmer's market and be like, I want to hear about the environment. Tell me.
Yes. Yes.
Tell me.
Yes.
I'll listen. Yes. I know. I'm glad you're here on this planet. At a show, if someone is even whispering, I'm like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
Okay. This person is up there trying to express themselves, trying to live their dream. I don't care how bad they are. If I am at a comedy show and no one is there, I will sit in the front and be like, ha, 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 you're funny. Like
Nora, I can't tell you that I remember the last time that this happened to me where I was one of four people in the audience and guess who I was listening to talk? Four people.
Oh God.
You're never going to believe it. Pete Buttigieg. Four people. And I was there because I was at work and I had to be there. And also Chasten was one of the four.
Oh God.
I mean, can you believe that I live in a world and you live here too, where like in March 2019, my job took me to South by Southwest and Pete Buttigieg was doing like a talk and I had to be there anyway for work. And four people came. Mm-hmm. Pete Buttigieg. Mm-hmm. Pete Buttigieg has like 9 book deals and is like every straight white woman over a certain age's idea of progress because he's gay.
Yes.
And he reminds them of their son.
Yeah. He's my gay son. Okay.
And we all have
one. I have a gay son.
And we all have one. And we all have one.
We all have one. We all have one. Big deal.
I asked questions.
Yes. You're so good.
I made
you gave him the confidence to like really go for his dreams.
I almost just called him I almost called him. I'm peeing my pants.
What did you call him, you loser? You fucking loser. What did you call him? What? What? What?
I called him poo. Okay. Okay. Wow. I'm like on the floor. Poot.
Poot. Poot Buttigieg.
Yeah.
That's really good.
Oh my God. Poot okay. Buttigieg. Well, yeah. Oh, well, I just peed my pants.
So yeah. And the point is, you gave this man the confidence he needed to run for the highest office in the land. And honestly, who else can say that? The other three people in that room that day.
Yeah. And honestly, one of them was already married to him. So it was like, you know, of course, Chasten's giving you that, Poon.
My God.
Anyway, it's so funny that you say that because I think back on that moment being like, you know, in what world? But yeah, there were
in what world? Yeah.
Another thing too we want to say in terms of producing reality television is that either the fact that there were only 12 people at the show at the Knitting Factory would have been a plot point, or producers would have gotten fillers to make it look like
it's shot. The only people, you don't see any shots from the stage at all. It's very careful to not show anybody except Ashley and her friends.
Yes.
That's it.
There is nobody there.
No one.
Do you think it was just filmed for the show?
Possibly. But, you know, the Knitting Factory is like a place. So, you know, I'm sure they were hoping at least some people would show up, but it probably would it have existed without the show? Possibly, but there would have been 50% fewer people there. And I mean, again, we're 17 minutes into the show. We're nearly done. This is like, this is the biggest plot point, is that he didn't sing the song that he said he would sing for, except that he did. She was not noticing or too drunk. And she's so shit-faced in this elevator. And she keeps being like, and now my Valentine's Day is ruined. I didn't even get like a single, not even a one little guard nation.
And then she spills something in the elevator.
Oh, she's just, and then she wanders away from him, which is like also one of my favorite things to do as like a young drunk.
Yeah, was be like, to just see if I care.
Yeah, see if I care. You're gonna have to look for me, you idiot.
And then me shouting from across the room, I'm over here if you care.
If you care. Me laying in the middle of a sidewalk being like, I guess I'll get hit by a car because no one loves me. I'm just fucking psycho.
Yeah, exactly.
God. Exactly. I guess my boyfriend doesn't care about me and hopes I fucking die.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm over here drinking some bleach.
Secondary manslaughter for you to watch me die. And you could have stopped me. So whose fault is that? Okay. Yeah, he is so annoyed with her. Rightfully.
He's so fucking annoyed. And then she gets back to her. I mean, they get back to the apartment building they share, which is eek. He didn't forget Valentine's Day. There's grocery store flowers that she tries to open with a butter knife.
Oh, boy.
She's drunk.
And we get a little bit of foreshadowing to that because she's like telling one of her friends, like, she's like, I'm done. Like, Valentine's Day's over and I'm over him. And they're like, the night's not over yet, Ashley. Which means like, yeah, of course there's going to be a Hershey's kiss waiting for you in your apartment.
There will be a Hershey's kiss in your apartment. And then we get to end with just this beautiful montage that just says, this is a real marketing relationship. And and they're, you know, they're like in the bathroom pinching each other's butts. They're dancing in the kitchen in the refrigerator light. They were there.
It was rare. They remember it all too well because Joe Simpson was filming it. so it's easy to remember. Yeah, there they are, the Buca de Beppo having Cacio e Pepe.
It worked.
Here they are, it's with like their moderate to severe black psoriasis.
They rethought their choices. And it's like, it's not over. It's actually just beginning. And you will want so badly to see what happens in the next episode, because we're already telling you it's going to be good. And yet again, for, I mean, at least the third time in the preview for the next episode, we see her dye her hair dark brown. We've already seen this clip. It's like, it's been promised to us. Like, we're waiting. We're ready.
Yeah, the amount of time they make us wait for Ashley's makeover is like me waiting for Chrishell and Jason's relationship to come out on Selling Sunset. I'm like, just tell me they're together. Just tell me she's fucking one of the Oppenheims.
One of them. And she doesn't even know which one, because nobody does. Like, I just...
Yeah, exactly.
Same person. I don't feel that about every twin, but these two are like, it's indecipherable which one is which.
Absolutely. When you're a twin, an identical twin, and you have the exact same hobby, and you're like, we started a brokerage firm together where we do the work and also hot women.
Yes.
I'm like,
yes.
Yeah, okay,
where we
well, then
collect
you're the same
hot
person.
Women and sell houses. Yeah. We sell hot women and houses.
You don't get a differentiated personality for me.
No. And it's like, oh.
Yeah. Nora, I got to tell you, I know we're only four episodes in, but it feels like a lifetime to the Ashley Simpson show. I think this was my favorite episode yet.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. This is like the real drama of being this age is like, oh my God.
Valentine's this person, Day.
It's Valentine's. And I have these spoken and yet just non-negotiable expectations. And it better be big. It better be special. I want to be embarrassed, but I won't be embarrassed at all. This is actually exactly what I want. And so she did go to that concert expecting he would say, like, this song is about the love of my life. I was born right in this moment when I met her.
Yes.
I want to sing this song that I actually wrote before I met her, but now it's about her. And, she's here tonight. Honey, will you stand up? Will you join me on stage? She was ready for that. She didn't get it. And I don't think that part was fake or scripted. I think truly every unhinged woman I know was a girl like that, being like, it's Valentine's. I've been dating this boy for 6 minutes and I think he's going to propose.
Yeah. And if he doesn't, then I guess it was never meant to be in the first place. And he doesn't like me. And I'll just be laying over here on this bridge as this truck comes barreling towards me at 90 miles an hour. Don't worry about me. I'm fine. No one cares.
Fine.
No one loves me.
I'm fine. Mm-hmm. Like, whatever. Like, I didn't even care. That's the thing. Like, I didn't even care about you. You can't break up with me. I'm breaking up with you. We were never together. It's not a big deal.
We were just best friends who made out, and it was fine.
We were best friends who kissed each other. Like, get a life. God. So, it's resonating. Yeah. And this is one of those things that will stick in our brains the way that Josh Henderson's origin story stuck in Christina's brain.
Honestly, yeah, you're right. When someone later says, Ashley and Ryan, they were never best friends, I'm going to be like, wait, what? Yeah, they were. They were best friends.
Yeah, they were.
And they loved
making
out.
They were best friends who made out, like the same way that, yes, Caroline and I make out, like, big deal. Like, because that's your best friends.
That's your best,
best friends.
You go to Vegas, you share a bed, and when you have moderate to severe plaque psoriasis, you rethink your choices. It's not that fucking hard, you guys.
You rethink Matthew, you rethink Dan, you think like, what? What?
Oh my God.
I don't know.
Honestly,
what is a marriage?
By the end of that Vegas trip, we were ready to sign off our rights to all of our pets and all of our children and all of our husbands and stay in that casino forever. Like that
stay
woman
in the
we
casino
saw
forever.
At the slots who was like, I've been here for 3 weeks. And we were like,
I've been here for 3 weeks. I had a place to live, but that woman, her cheese slid off her cracker and
that's what
I
she
couldn't
said.
Do it.
We met
anymore.
A woman who described her friend that she was in a fight with as a woman whose cheese fell off her cracker.
And I love that.
Yeah.
I will never leave that casino. And she was there with her duffel bag, guys. I don't know. We saw things. Vegas changed me.
It changed me. It changed it, me too.
And I wandered around thinking, where are the hot people? How do I get to that Vegas? And both our husbands were like, no, I think you're in the right Vegas.
They were like, yeah, I mean, you're in the Vegas that's hot for you. And we were like, yeah, okay, we got it. We were just looking for the Wynn Hotel the entire time. So
we're looking for the Wynn Hotel. I was like, yeah, I thought people here were like really fancy and like and we dressed were, like, super sexy sweatshirts. Like us.
I just want to tell one story before we sign off because we didn't release the Vegas episode. That when we went to the Wynn Hotel for the buffet, and I told this story to Dan and Maddie when you guys were here last week, but I'll tell it to everyone now. We went to the buffet, and you guys know the Phoebe buffet of it all is that it costs so much money. It's like $90 a person.
So much money.
You have to make it worth your while. You have to pile your plate and you got to go for the high price items. You got to go for your crab legs. You got to go for your shrimp. You got to go for your lobster. So what did we get? We got a lot of pasta salad and Nora got like one roll, like a one roll to nine butter pat ratio.
Yes.
And
yes.
The roll was gone and the butter was still, a lot of the butter was still there. And the woman who was coming around and getting us drinks and asking us if we were okay, we were like chatting with her for a little bit. And she looks at Nora's plate and she goes, oh, I love butter too. I eat it on bread. She thought Nora was eating it with a fork.
Yes.
Like yes. A baby would. Like a 3-year-old would if you let them. She thought Nora came to the $79 per person buffet, picked up nine little things of butter, and was just popping them in her mouth like Mentos.
And honestly, she was not incorrect.
She was not wrong.
I do eat mostly butter. Like I like bread is there to deliver an extraordinary amount of butter to me. Yes. However, it also, I mean, I can't go to a fancy buffet like that. I think next time we have to hit like the fancy restaurants because I truly, like, I don't eat crab legs. I don't eat fish. Right. I don't eat anything from the ocean. I think it's ugly and I don't want to eat something ugly. And that's a little bit about me. So I don't want to eat
gotta
ugly
go to the
foods.
Restaurants. We have to go
to a restaurant. So I truly did. I ate a $75 roll because I was like on just, I don't know.
You had some pasta.
I had some pasta. And then I also thought.
It's too overwhelming.
It's
and
too
got,
overwhelming.
Like seven desserts. I do remember that.
Yes.
I do remember that.
And well, that I like. Yeah.
Well, you guys, we want you to come to Vegas next time we come. So everyone needs to. My sister.
Get your life together.
What is this? My sister goes, can you please send me the screenshot of your 23andMe results? Please. It's important. Lucy, I'll tell you what it says. 50% Irish, 50% Eastern European Jew. That's it. That's all we got,
girlfriend.
Why is
it urgent? Does she think you don't have the same parents? Like, you have to call her. That's why it's urgent to Lucy because she thinks something's up. Okay.
Oh, my God. What if this is how I find out?
This is how you find out.
That at some Lucy. Point, one of my parents who had severe... moderate to severe plaque psoriasis rethought their choices. And that's how Lucy came to be. Oh,
yeah.
Shit. I got to
go. Do you remember your mom being pregnant?
I got to go. Yeah. You know, I do you? But I don't remember how, you know, I wasn't there for the conception, thank God. You know, who can say? She's dead. And she looks like my mom, but she doesn't really look like my dad. My brother looks like my dad. I look like a perfect. All right. Well, we got to go.
Oh, okay. We
got
to go.
We got some family drama. We'll see you next week for another episode. Of Ashley Simpson, a.k.a. Nobody Asked.
Nobody asked. But, I mean, your sister is asking about.
She's asking. It's DNA. It's crucial and important, and I have to get her my ancestry login. All right, guys. Oh, bye.
Well, bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.